Morning, everybody. So good to see so many more faces. Isn't it good news that we're able to gather together more and more these days? Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much to the elders for this opportunity. I know that we've been working through the series of The Family Factor, and today I believe is part five. And it's a message that I'm currently living and embracing and navigating in my life, and that is being single as a Christ follower, as well as how that fits into being in the family of God. And by single, I mean you're not in a committed romantic relationship with somebody of the opposite sex. Maybe you've experienced marriage and then divorce and you're single, or you've been married and you've lost your wife or your husband and you are widowed. In our church body here at The Bridge, I can think of at least probably 25 single people who fit into that category, who are over the age of 18 to 70 plus. And for the sake of a title for today, I want you to imagine Jesus, he's throwing a dinner party and he's walking around and he's checking the table settings, the place settings. And he's going through his guest list, and I'm calling this, we all have a place at his table of grace. I want to thank Jess for just a beautiful image. And the reason why I'm calling it that is because I don't know whether it's, Western culture, if it's Hollywood, if it's social media, sometimes it's even the church. In the years that I've been single, and also in just conversations that I've had with single people, singles say, sometimes I just don't feel like I fit in or I belong. It's kind of like we're on the outskirts, like, hello. and in church family, depending, and I realize being single when you're 20 can look different from when you're 30 and when you're 40 or older, right? But sometimes you can just feel like, okay, God, what's going on? There's weddings, there's engagements, there's date nights, there's couples retreats, there's marriage ministries. And really, for me, what I'm hoping to do today, yes, this message is for our single friends. Please, marrieds, don't check out or check your email. I promise you that there will be some relevant information. What I'm hoping to do is share a bit of my lived experience, take a look at some of the wonderful single men and women in the Bible that I wasn't aware of, and only because of preparing this have I discovered, especially Jesus, who lived on this earth as a man, as a single man. I'm going to talk about some humor. It's always good to have some humor, to throw in some laughter. It's good to laugh at ourselves, especially. And look at some what I call true spiritual norths in my life that, to the best of my ability, I'm choosing to live by as a Christ follower and being single in the family of God. Now, I also realize that there may be some things that I talk about that could possibly rub you the wrong way, and all I'm asking is please don't throw any tomatoes at me. Please choose not to get offended. Take a deep breath, check your heart, and take it to the Lord. It's, again, some lived experience as well as some common themes that I speak to, not just singles in church, but outside of the church. Two scriptures that are becoming more and more alive to me lately come from two different translations, which I actually really love. You've heard them before. One is Mark 12. Verse 29 to 31, and it's from The Message. And it's Jesus saying, the first in importance is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second, love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. For me, if I'm single or whether I'm married, when I look at that scripture, the most important thing is love the Lord God, right, and love others. The second one, and I'll speak a little bit more about discipleship later, but it's from the New Living Translation. It's Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, and it's, again, Jesus speaking, saying, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. For me, they are wonderful encouragements as a Christ follower, again, whether I'm single or married. Something that is foundational for me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, love others, and make disciples. Now, here's a funny thing. People say funny things to single people in the church and outside of the church. I'm going to share some things. I'm going to be pretty vulnerable. Some of them are things that have happened to me. It's okay. Please don't feel sorry for me. And again, this message is not to make you feel sorry for single people. It's just funny stuff that people say. The reason why is because you never know where people are at, right? Some singles could be quite sensitive about that, or some singles are confident and, you know, get on with life. It's really about considering others and being mindful of what comes out of your mouth because of how it might land or impact people. Because I've seen some hurt single people because, and again, not bashing married people, but it tends to be a lot of married people who say this, and I always ask myself, why are you saying that? Like, think it through. One of them is, you must be so lonely. Now, loneliness is a very real emotion for people, right? If you're single, for me in my life, it ebbs and flows. I've also met some lonely married people. So everybody experiences loneliness. Interesting, statistically, they say, that the people who struggle with loneliness the most are actually young single moms, prisoners, college students, and seniors. Something in my life, for about 15 years, I lived away from my family in different continents, and I was on my own. And I probably attended about 4 different churches. And in each of those churches, I can honestly say my testimony was this. I was included. There's a beautiful scripture in Psalm 68. It says, he sets and he places the lonely in families. And that happened for me. People included me. Hey, Louise, would you like to come for lunch, you know, after church? Or they remembered special occasions like birthdays or Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving. And there's something special about including somebody that you know might not have family or is on their own. The challenge for me is I choose to live by wanting to have intergenerational friendships. I want to have friends with everybody of different ages, right? I don't want to always have the same group of friends. And so I usually challenge people back by saying, is your dining room table, when you have people over, your people? Are they always even numbers? Why don't you invite some of those single people that I've just said that you could have in your life over and get to know them? That's probably what would be helpful. Another one, and listen, good intentions, well-meaning, is I just want you to be happy. Which as a single person, when a married person says that to you, translates to be married equals to be happy, to be single equals to be unhappy. Now, I've met a lot of unhappy single people, but I've also met some unhappy married people. I think what would be helpful is to call someone up and say, hey, let's go for a walk. Let's celebrate the good things that are going on in your life. A great quote that I came across while I was preparing for this says, the only true guarantee of happiness has little to do with marriage or singleness and everything to do with being obedient to the will of God. Isn't that good? Kind of brings perspective, right? The other one is, someone has said this to me, and I'll tell the true story, is you must be very picky. You need to lower your standards. I was at a Christian breakfast. I happened to sit next to a pastor. This was many years ago, and he happened to say to me, what are you looking for in a husband? And I wish now that I had the courage to say to him, number one, inappropriate. Number two, none of your business. But I went with it, right? And I said, I gave him some values and godly characteristics that I think are important to me. And he turned around and he said, who do you think you're going to marry, Jesus? You need to lower your standards. And I couldn't believe it, because in that moment, there was a split second. I mean, I graciously said to him, thank you so much for sharing your opinion. But I could have chosen to compromise, right? I could have chosen to settle. And sadly, I do know, you know, friends who are single, probably a little bit older and single, who are willing to settle and to compromise. And they say to me things like, you know what, Louise, do you know how hard it is to live on one income? Or maybe, you know, he'll give his life to the Lord when we get married, or after we get married. Or I want my kids to have a father figure, so God understands, he knows my heart. And at the end of the day, this is what I believe, is that when you start to compromise God's truths, that's what's going to equal unhappiness. Anybody else get this? Why are you still single? Why aren't you married? Are you putting yourself out there? Are you online dating? Again, it's kind of funny, but I don't exactly walk around every married person and say, why are you married? I mean, I could. I don't know whether I'm prepared to hear the answer. And, you know, I've had friends who've done online dating, met really godly men, and truly are living happily ever after. But I think, sadly, sometimes the world can kind of send the subtle or loud message that in order to be successful or perfect, you need to graduate, get a job, get married, have children, and live happily ever after. And that's where you get your value from, right? Someone has said this to me, it must be so nice to have so much extra time on your hands or extra money in your bank at the end of the month. And I sometimes think, okay, all right, yeah, it is. But, you know, what I do with my time and my money is between me and the Lord, right? Just like it is between you and the Lord. And so what I'm trying to say is it's helpful not to judge one another. You don't understand what it's like to be married, or you don't understand because you're not married or don't have children. And I know, 100% true, but I think more and more I realize that the same Holy Spirit who lives in you, he also lives in me. And when I ask him for help or wisdom, he gives me the capacity to be able to empathize and to listen and to support and to help. Am I making sense? Yeah. This is more serious. This is when you get prophetic words like, God told me that you'll be married by, or God told me that I'm going to marry you. Now, do I know that sometimes that has happened and it's worked out wonderfully? Awesome. But what I would say is to be just really careful. One, when you give a word like that to somebody, and two, when you receive a word from somebody, I would submit to you that you share it with the elders. Not for their permission, but for their perspective, because at the end of the day, that can have huge ramifications in your life. It's happened to me a couple of times. Wonderful Christian prophetic women have come up to me and said, God told me you're going to be married by this time next year. And that year blew by, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky of possibility. She had enough integrity to come back to me and say, look, I'm so sorry, Louise. I was zealous. I'm desperate for you to get married. Sometimes I feel like people are more desperate for me to get married, maybe. I am. The other one was, again, a lovely lady, prophetic, godly, came up to me and said, I had a vision of you married to this particular person. And she described the details, and I happened to be at that time in my life getting to know somebody who fit those details. And I think what I'd like to encourage single people with is, at the end of the day, this has got to be something that you settle in your heart with God, right? You've got to be able to say, God, is this your will or isn't it? Lastly, two funny stories. Sweet, lovely Christian lady also said this. You're not married. You need to hang a pair of man's work pants on the end of your bed by faith. And so I just graciously smiled and said, thank you. Another gentleman in the church looked at me and said, so you're not married, eh? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And so I thought, well, does that mean that I'm not seeking the kingdom of God enough for marriage to be added unto me? Right? Why am I saying this? And you can all take a deep breath. It's okay. But it's just to kind of make you aware of the things that people say to single people. That's not helpful, right? So, how about a bit of a comedic break? Here's what I suggest you do, don't do actually, is don't Google single Christian memes, because they are hilarious as well as cheesy. The first one, Rochelle, if you don't mind putting up, and for those that are online, It's a young man, I think, sipping a milkshake, and he says, "I shook her hand in the fellowship time, so I guess you could say things are getting pretty serious." Don't be that guy, and don't be that girl. The next one is a great Christian pickup line. I don't know whether it's really worked or not. Again, for those online, it's a man speaking to a woman, and it says, "So you're looking for a knight in shining armor. I just so happen to be wearing the armor of God." It's good to laugh. It's okay. We're in a church. You're all allowed to have a sense of humor. Let's move on to some of the good stuff. So I've taken a look at some great single men and women, examples in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, that just for me go, wow. If I could say anything, they were just getting on with what God had called them to do. We've got a couple of prophets, Elijah and Jeremiah. Elijah, I mean, miraculous, right? Fire, drought, whirlwind. He used his spiritual gift God had given him. Jeremiah, again, a message of repentance. He seemed to be a bit of a young prophet. I think in one of the verses it says, "I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth." For young singles, God still uses you. Like, don't wait until you get older or become an adult to think that God, you know, is all of a sudden now gonna start using you. Daniel, he was a highly respected government leader. He interpreted dreams. He had great wisdom. He got on and did what God had called him to do. Joseph, as a single adult before marriage, look at what he accomplished, right? He was prisoner to prince. He interpreted dreams. He experienced incredible favor. He managed the storehouse of a nation. Mad organizational skills, right? It was really a story of heroic redemption and forgiveness, getting on with God, with what God had called him to do. Naomi, a widow, a resourceful widow, who had gone through experienced loss, right? A husband, two sons, and now she's taking care of a daughter-in-law. What's fascinating to me is she experienced that incredible loss, yet she was an ancestress of the Messiah. Esther, we know her, Queen Esther, before she became queen, brave, courageous for such a time as this, doing what God had called her to do. How about Jesus' cousin, John the Baptizer? Pretty radical, right? Honey, crickets, goat hair. But a prophet, a preacher, repent, prepare the way for the Lord, preparing the way for the Lord. He wasn't a crowd pleaser. Depending on your translation, Tabitha or Dorcas in Acts 9:36, it says, "In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. She was always doing good and helping the poor." Now, it doesn't say whether she was single or married, but whether you're single or married, wouldn't that be wonderful? Just went about doing good, helping the poor. The three siblings, Jesus' buddies, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, hospitable, right? Faithful followers of Christ. Paul, everybody can relax. This isn't a preach on Paul's take on being single, but I do encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 7. Ask Holy Spirit for wisdom. But here he was, an apostle. He gave his life in complete dedication to the gospel. He was a pioneer. He took the gospel to the Gentile world. He experienced incredible suffering, but he was a faithful follower. Here's what I love about what Paul said. Don't get nervous. I am going to be quoting from 1 Corinthians 7. And it goes along the lines of this. He says, "I want you to be free from the concerns of this life." Rochelle, it's not up. It's okay. "An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married, who has never been married, can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband." It's my favorite verse, 35. "I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible." Louise's interpretation, married or single, be on fire for the Lord. Do it as according to what's best, right? And then Jesus. So he walked this earth as a human man with, you know, family and friends. And I know you're probably saying, "Well, Louise, that's Jesus." But here's the thing. I think that Jesus knew what it felt like to maybe not fit in. to maybe feel misunderstood or even judged. You know, there were cultural pressures, probably some nosy aunties and grannies. I think he probably had times when, you know, he saw wonderful women, met wonderful women. And who's not to say that an auntie might have said, "Hey, Jesus, what about her?" Right? He faced temptation. There were societal norms. I mean, Jewish culture, you were supposed to be married at least by the age of 20, right? Here's what I do know about Jesus. I don't believe Jesus was a flirt. I don't believe he was a player. I don't believe he lived common law. And I believe that because I don't think he would have been disobedient to the Father. And in those times when he did go by himself and spend time with him, I think maybe that's when he settled in his heart. It's not my will to, it's not your will for me to get married. And I know that this might be shocking to some people, but not every single person has a desire to be married. So please don't assume that. Tim Keller puts it a great way. Well, before that, actually, I think going back to Jesus, he had the big picture in mind. He had the eternal picture because already he was a groom. And we here on earth are his bride. And one day, you know, he's preparing a wedding feast for us. And so for the singles here, you already are a bride and you already have a groom. Tim Keller, he's speaking to men, but I think women will get it too. He says, "Men, you'll never be a good groom to your wife unless you are a good bride to Jesus." Another way of putting it is, who are you preparing yourself more for? An earthly spouse or a heavenly one? So why don't we take a look at the life of Jesus, a single man, a man on a mission. When I read the Gospels and I look at Jesus and I look at my life, as Christ followers, I'm assuming all of us are wanting to please him. Right? We're wanting to live according to his truths. And the way that I see him modeling to us, whether you're single or married, is here's what I think was important to him. I'm going to run through a bunch of points, not really explain too much, but you'll get the gist of it. Jesus made time for people. He made himself available. He put hands and feet to what he preached. He met people where they were at. He loved people and he showed them compassion. He was secure in his calling and he was intentional in everything that he did. He had an intimate relationship with his heavenly Father. Just a quick side note, if you are looking at developing a more intimate relationship with your heavenly Father, a wonderful book that I've been rereading lately is The Father Heart of God by Floyd McClung Jr. It's wonderful. The next was he served others. Here's the thing with serving, which God reminded me of when I was speaking to him about this. You know, I felt like the Lord said to me, you know, Louise, when someone invites you to their house, you always bring them a gift and you ask, you know, how you can help. Will you do that when you come into my house, right? This house, will you bring your gift? Will you ask how you can serve? Jesus served others. He lived a pure and a holy life. He lived an obedient lifestyle. He saw value and worth, and he gave dignity to those whose society wouldn't have. Rochelle, I think that's on the next slide, if you don't mind. He lived a surrendered life. He was led by the Spirit and he was anointed with power. He attended church, synagogue. He gathered with other believers. He never modeled independence or exclusivity. Something that's coming more and more alive to me is Luke 4:18-19. It's Jesus speaking and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Rochelle, do you mind changing to that slide, please? Oh, maybe it's not there. Sorry about that. Luke 4:18-19. Wherever Jesus went, he proclaimed the good news. He wasn't silent about his faith. And I think you know, what a time to be living in where we can be proclaiming the good news. A lot of people don't know what the good news is as Christians. But here's what Jesus is saying it is. It's being able to proclaim freedom and recovery and deliverance and God's favor to a lost and brokenhearted and addicted and enslaved world. So whatever sphere of influence you have, married or single, that's the good news. Jesus was humble. He never tried to impress others, and he was never selfish. I'm just going to quote again from Philippians, I think it's 2. Yes, verse 3. Something that's kind of just stopped me in my tracks and really, I guess, makes me not say too much, but rather listen. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. It's quite the challenge, right? It's don't think of yourself as more important than others. And that's the world's way. It's about I, check me out. This is where I get my value and look how much I've accomplished. And Jesus turns it upside down for us, right? Are we good? Making sense? Are you following? Not speaking too fast? Here are some spiritual true norths that I'm choosing to live my life by to the best of my ability. It's things that I want to hold on to as a Christ follower. I want to be able to live an obedient and a surrendered life, submitted to his lordship. I want to choose to keep my eyes on Jesus and not on the way the world does things. I want to intentionally guard my heart and mind with his truth. I want to do my best not to give in to temptation of self-glorification or look to the approval of man to determine my value. That's such a big one. I look around me and I look at social media and I just look at how people talk sometimes, and self-glorification is such a big deal. I sometimes wonder if Jesus had an Instagram account, what would his posts be of? I know I have some strange thoughts sometimes, but I kind of don't see him gazing off into the distance with his reflection in the Sea of Galilee with a hashtag saying, who dis, right? I kind of don't see him walking on water with the disciples in the background and hashtag check me out. Right? Like, I think his posts would be full of arms around people celebrating, right? I think Jesus' hashtag would be doing my father's business. You know, lunch is served. Once couldn't walk, but now can. He's alive. You know, blind, but now can see. And I think it stops me in my tracks, at least, I guess, of, you know, am I shining the spotlight on me? Or am I shining the spotlight on him? Because really, that's where it needs to be. To the best of my ability, I don't want to compromise God's values. I want to choose kingdom culture. And this is a bit of a over any other culture, especially when I talk to friends of mine in the single sphere, who there's a lot of family pressure, I think cultural pressures on, you know, you need to only get married if you're the oldest, or, you know, only boys get married first, or, you know, you need to finish this and that and that. And I always think to myself, but what happens if Jesus said something differently? Would you be willing to kind of bend your culture to him? I will use the spiritual gifts he's given me to serve as bride. That's just like a done deal for me, because I see the benefit of it. I look at the word and I see how every single part is important in the body of Christ. Every single part, bring my gift into his house to serve his bride at the end of the day. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. A huge one is, I will settle in my heart who's going to be my first love. We've heard that, you know, in a couple of services, but is Jesus going to be my first love? really. I will be thankful in all circumstances and seasons in my life, and I will choose to live a pure life to the best of my ability in my heart and my mind and my body. You know, last week, Janine, I thought, did a really tasteful job of talking about sexual intimacy. This is an area where I see singles compromise so much. You know, just because someone's got a promise ring or an engagement ring doesn't give you license to mess around, right? That wedding ring, that covenant ring, is when you can. But I see it brings so much shame and guilt on singles, whatever age, when you do taint living a pure and holy life. And I will be intentional in making disciples. And here's why. Because Jesus commanded me to. He commanded you to. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about mentoring or discipleship. And I love mentors. I think mentors are wonderful. You know, people have financial mentors, spiritual mentors. But Jesus didn't say, go and make mentors, right? A mentor will listen and guide and advise and pray for you. But when you're a disciple, right, that's a convert, that's a follower of Christ. And something just for me, right, the Lord has been speaking to me lately with is, are you making disciples? And what I love is when disciples say, follow me like I'm following Christ. It isn't about follow me or become like a mini me. It's become like Christ Jesus. So here's the good part. Singles are like, when are you going to get to this? It's encouragement for you. First and foremost, you are Christ followers. You have great worth and you have great value. He calls you actually his masterpiece. You are seen. You are heard. We heard that today by your heavenly Father. You belong and you have a place at his table. You are appreciated. You are a vital part of the body of God. Here's what's really important. Your worth and your value and your identity is not defined by your relationship status. I'm going to say that again. Because I know a lot of singles who are waiting at the bus stop of when marriage happens, then my life will continue, right? And Hollywood sells a really bad lie of, and it sounds kind of cute, you know, Hallmark movies, you complete me. It's not biblical, right? If a husband comes along in my life, we will complement one another. But he's not going to complete me. Only Jesus Christ will complete me. Because then that means that Jesus was not complete as a man here on earth, right? So just think things through. Stuff might sound great, but is it Bible? Saying this with a smile on my face, get on with your life. And settle in your heart what God's will is for you. How do you do that? You ask him. And something that I think, again, just in this Family Factor series is the family of God needs you. And you need the family of God. And there's a few things before I end that I felt that I really need to say to singles. That maybe you've had these kind of thoughts. Maybe there's something wrong with me. There isn't. Yeah. Maybe God's punishing me. He isn't. Maybe God's forgotten about me. He hasn't. Or maybe I'm unlovable. Not true. I read something that jumped out at me recently. It said, your single journey, if you allow it to be, can be a story of beautiful, radical dependence on God. Isn't that great? My life can be a story of beautiful, radical dependence on God. And so can yours, if you're married. And lastly, Rochelle, please, the quote that I think just seals it for me. It says, God's plan for the world was not to make single people married. It was to reconcile people to him and bring glory to himself. Isn't that true? Good. Well, Father, I just thank you so much that we've been able to gather in the name of Jesus today. And my heart's prayer is that whatever's landed on people's hearts, whether you're single or married, that Holy Spirit, you would continue the good work that you've begun. Lord, for my single friends, I just pray that they would continue to press on and stand firm and do what God's called them to do, anointed in the name of Jesus. Father, for anyone who might be feeling on the outside looking in, or that they don't have a place, or they're questioning, you know, where do I fit in? Holy Spirit, I ask, would you please just seal in their hearts where they can just pull out a chair, sit down, and sit at the table of grace. Lord, I ask that if there's been any hurt done by words spoken, if there's been any family pressure on people, if there's just lies people have believed, or, you know, the enemy might have whispered, God, would you just remove that sovereignly, I ask in Jesus' name. Like Paul says, whatever situation you're in, be on fire for God. And Lord, I just ask for an ease for the next week ahead, that God, people would just choose to press into you, that choose not to compromise or to settle. They would choose to seek after you, Lord, with all their hearts, bringing glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.